All right. Well, let me jump on into today's opening monologue. And as always, giving you my thoughts on some things, sometimes philosophical, sometimes just humorous, sometimes history. But I got to say, it's Thanksgiving week, right? So exactly 37 years ago this week, there was a classic of modern cinema that hit the screen. It was a tale about being thankful. It was about the perils of holiday travel. You may know where I'm going. The movie was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, starring Steve Martin and the late John Candy. And their efforts to get home when every aspect of travel was against them was the sub-story to the movie. But the underlying story below that, though, was that one of them had something to go home to while the other one had no one. It was really a story about being thankful. It was a story about family. It was about things that are bigger than us and recognizing what's really important. And yes, it was about the perils of holiday travel, and the lovely Charlene and I can relate. So some of you may know that our son and daughter-in-law and the two most perfect of all grandchildren in the world are now living closer to home, and we love that. But my son's job has kept him out of state. At times, he was a day's drive away. And Charlene and I, though, we're blessed and we know it. Grandkids are everything they've been billed as. Love them, get them all sugared up, and let the parents deal with the aftermath. But I've got to tell you, when they live so far away that getting to and from each visit can be a challenge, well, you start thinking of ways to shorten the trip. You think that a flight might save you time. Well, it can be even more of a challenge when you get caught in what I like to call airline purgatory. Okay, so brace yourself for the Right Side Radio version of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So you remember back in the halcyon days of air travel when flying was a luxury and it seemed to command a certain level of respect and congeniality? I mean, they even had stewardesses whose sole function was actually to make your life more comfortable. Airlines bent over backward to be seen as the friendly skies, the one who provides the customer service that warrants your appreciation and a zeal for continued travel on their fair airplanes, where the captain always smiles and the ticket counter works expeditiously to meet your every expectation. So yeah, about all that. So Charlene and I, we had planned a trip to Virginia where our grandkids and son and daughter-in-law were living. Like I said, to see the son and beautiful bride and most perfect grandchildren, the trip seemed like it'd be better put on a plane. They were the sole source of our desire to get out of town and just be with family for a few days, but that's a 12-hour drive. If you drive it and then you drive it back, 2 full days of your trip is all spent on the road. So we worked to find the best airfare, figuring we'd maximize our time with loved ones. Yeah, we even decided, by the way, to take a red-eye flight at 0:30 out of Birmingham. I mean, why not? Well, instead of flying the friendly skies, it turned into a reenactment of the scene from Animal House, where the pledges have to go through their initiation paddling, and every time one of the fraternity pledges has to bend over to get paddled, he has to yell, "Whap! Thank you, sir. May I have another?" That's what the whole day felt like. I mean, where do I begin with my complete dress down of American Airlines? Well, the joy began with Charlene and I having to leave our house at 0400. No worries. Flights out of Birmingham are easy, and we know that airport well, so we arrived on station in good time, only to find the parking deck elevator was out of order. So we had to walk several minutes to get to another one. And then we got to that one, it didn't want to work, and we stood there trying to get the buttons to work, and just as I was preparing to tote the bags down multiple flights of stairs, the elevator doors finally actually opened. But when we reached the bottom, we realized we had now moved further away from the ticket counter area. So we hiked, like a quarter mile, and we arrived at the American Airlines desk. And we did the whole self-serve, faceless kiosk thing, which seemed like a complete waste of time because you still have to then take your bags up to the counter to be weighed anyway. Fine. We did so, only to have the first ticket counter lady with the purple hair, who had no customers, by the way, and really no sense of customer service, she looked at us and asked if we checked our bags. I'm thinking, you mean the bags that are obviously sitting here by my feet? No, ma'am. Well, move down, she yelled from like 6 feet away. Move where? Down there. Down where? To the far end. Okay, to another lady who did have customers, which means we went from not being in line to being in line. And after standing in line for several minutes for the new lady, we finally approached the counter, only to have the new lady tell us in broken English we could not check our bags. What? You 5 minutes late, she said in broken English. Too late for what? They haven't even started boarding yet. No, no, no. Birmingham rule. Birmingham rule. She kept shouting something about a Birmingham rule. Bags checked 45 minutes before flight. She said some kind of like an angry, accusatory, broken English slang mix. Well, ma'am, we've been right here the whole time. And the elevator didn't work. And the line, the lady moved us down here. We're not late. Too late now. You go standby. Stand by for what? We have tickets and they're not even boarding yet. Well, suffice to say, this was getting us nowhere, which was made worse, by the way, by the purple-haired lady walking by and making some snide comment about people not following Birmingham's unwritten rules. Well, I said, well, what if we just board without our luggage and let the luggage catch up to us on the next flight? No way. You no flyer with no luggage. You go standby. I'm thinking, at this point, I was about to climb over the counter, except for Charlene's well-placed hand on my arm. So the end result was that despite arriving early, we were shuffled into purgatory while our early morning flight departed without us. Thus began the odyssey. We managed to get on standby seating several hours later, only to board, and then just prior to taxiing from the gate, the captain announced that our midpoint destination, Charlotte, North Carolina, was now socked in by fog. So they pulled back into the gate, and we all deplaned and sat around the terminal for another hour plus. When we eventually arrived in Charlotte several hours later, it was to a scene that looked more like a refugee operation than a foreign land. I mean, I kid you not, the terminals were a madhouse. If you kicked over a fire ant nest, you would not see that much activity. Complete bedlam. Folks were camped out on the floors at every turn. The line at the American Airlines customer service desk, which, by the way, that's an oxymoron, American Airlines customer service, they don't go together. The American Airlines customer service desk was like 200 people long, no kidding. Did I mention, by the way, that the only place in the world that was still considered back at that time to be a COVID health risk was apparently the Charlotte airport. So we were all required to wear masks for hours. Unless, of course, the guy next to you wanted to eat his pretzels, at which point he was no longer contagious and could take off his mask. But I digress. So we were shucked off to a gate while we waited for a couple of hours on standby. And standby again. At one point, the gate attendant, she was very kind. She looked at Charlene and I. She literally said, well, I think I might be able to find some room on this flight. Until she looked at us in the records. Apparently, her mood changed, and she made note that Oh, I see that you must have been late in Birmingham. Apparently, we were carrying a scarlet letter on everything that we did for the rest of the day. We got branded by the lady with broken English in Birmingham about a Birmingham rule, and Charlotte was going to enforce it. No help for the rule breakers. They didn't follow Birmingham's unwritten rule, so now we weren't going to make another flight. So then we got shucked off to another gate, where we waited for 2 hours with bated breath. I finally started calling rental car companies. One hapless lady on the phone told me that I could not drive one way to Richmond, that I would have to return the car to the Charlotte airport. I said, I don't think you understand. I don't want to ever return to the Charlotte airport, like ever in my whole life. At which point she just said, oh, sweet Jesus, and hung up on me. I was just checking on the availability of U-Haul trucks to rent, and I was going to drive a U-Haul truck the rest of the way to Virginia when they began calling for boarding, and we made it. We made it on, and we arrived in Richmond. And the trip took roughly 12 hours, the same amount of time it would have taken to drive. Oh, and the funny thing, by the way, our bags were not on the carousel when we got off the plane. They were already at the baggage claim office waiting on us because somehow our bags arrived on an earlier flight. So the bags can't fly without the person, or is it the person can't fly without the bag, or is it just what the airline wants to do or something about a Birmingham rule? I don't know. The return trip did go smoother, somewhat. Our connector was delayed a little over an hour, and they lost my suitcase, but they delivered it to the house the next day. Listen, I tell you that story. I tell you that story because while that might have been a raucous effort to return a 12-hour trip into a 4-hour trip and back to a 12-hour trip, the reality is that we finally got to Richmond. And that's when we walked out of the terminal to the escalator to the baggage claim, and there was our son and our daughter-in-law and that perfect grandson who was beside himself that we were there, and all the fracas just seemed to melt away. So yeah, if the smile of a 2-year-old and the hug of a loved one at the far end of a bad flight is what it takes, then I'll say, thank you, sir, may I have another every single time. So if you're traveling this Thanksgiving, just keep your wits about you. Bring the charging cable for your phone and something good to read, and remember that it will be worth it on the other end. It was for us, although I will never fly American Airlines ever again. And that's a wrap. The Right Side Way.